national need.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Kampala, where a young Ugandan footballer is earning praise after his performance at the recent Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations tournament in Mauritania. Derek Kakoza led all scorers with 5 goals, and he helped Uganda's Hippos reach the final, where they lost 2-0 to Ghana's Black Satellites. Kakoza says his parents have played a vital role in his football development. Joining us now from Kampala with more details is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty greetings, Magume!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. 18-year-old striker Derek Kakoza says he's fulfilling not only his dream, but also that of his father. Charles Sempeja, Kakoza's father, who played professional soccer, had hoped he would play for the national team, the Uganda Cranes, before he fractured his leg in a match that ended his footballing career.
He was a player, and he was a striker, a super striker. But he got a fracture. His career stops here. He called me and he told me, go and represent me. I know you can make it. You have to score more goals. Because in my time, I was a scorer. So please, please help me, represent me. Don't let me down.
Kakoza says both his parents were supportive from the onset, paid him to join a football academy, as well as buying him playing boots, and continued to give him both moral and financial support.
I feel very, very, very happy. The dreams come true. I'm going to work so hard so that to achieve more are coming. Right now, I'm a top scorer of Africa in my age category, under 20. I think I'm going to become a very good striker in the world.
Uganda's new sensational striker says he's grateful to represent his country at an international meet.
Our coaches, our technical staff were so giving us a good tactics, good training, and a teamwork. We work as a team, we win as a team, we lose as a team, and we stay as a team. I'm trying to prove people wrong to become a superstar all over the world.
Teammate Richard Basangwa scored a goal and made 2 assists at the tournament. He says he's glad to have played alongside Kakoza.
As we went to the tournament, most people took us as underdogs. They because it was the first time we were representing the nation in under 20 competitions. We worked hard. He had to make for him assists. He had to make for me assists so that the team win. Like if he scored, I was happy. When I scored, he was also happy for me. So that enabled us. We had a good relationship. No one had a beef on each other. If I'm in a bad place and he's in a good position, I used to give him the ball so that he scores. Yeah, it was very easy working with him.
Soccer fan Patrick Kahwa says he was literally glued to the TV so as to watch the Uganda Hippos play. He says he was particularly impressed by Kakoza and Basangwa partnership.
Football is not an individual sport. It's a team sport. So you cannot, as long as the team is winning, everything is fine. And the performance was superb. I liked it. I liked every bit. From the goal, it was all nice. I liked it. I think this is going to take us even far. The national teams and playing hard, because when they start playing young, by the time the chemistry keeps getting bigger and stronger. So we are going to see great things from them. It's a very, very good thing. Yeah.
Uganda Hippos coach Molly Biekwaso, who emerged as the tournament top coach, says he's glad to have tasked Kakoza with the goal-scoring role.
I really believed in him. He has the size, he has the height. He knows how to play in front of the box, and he knows how to play with his fellow players. I think He's a very, very promising player. And once he's given chance to go in Europe to train with teams which are very, very professional, which are teams which have a lot of equipment and good coaches who are better than us, I think he will be one of the top strikers. In 5 years, he'll be one of the top strikers in the world.
The Police FC striker says the 5 goals at the Under-20 AFCON tournament will motivate him to even do better.
Yeah, I can't relax because this is not the end. The journey is still too long. I'm going to get 1 day to rest. Then the other day, I'm going to work at police for training. So no time to relax because I do work pace.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Hello listeners, my name is Kakoza Delik, a member of Uganda IPOS Under-20. They just concluded the Under-20 AFCON Finals as its runners-up, and I was top scorer with 5 goals. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Derek. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Derek Kakoza, the leading goal scorer at the 2021 Africa Under-20 Cup of Nations tournament. The Football Kenya Federation recently kicked off a new partnership with the European company Result Sports. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the Federation's digital media manager, Ronnie Lusigi.
Result Sports partnership with the BetKing Kenya Premier League that is run by the Football Kenya Federation is mainly involved in 3 areas, which is monitoring, educating, and I'd say the third one is advocacy. So results shall help us to monitor the performance of the 18 Kenyan Premier League, Football Kenya Federation Premier League clubs and the Premier League account itself. Out of this monitoring, we shall have key performance indicators that we shall use lessons from this monitoring to now educate the clubs in Kenya on digital media and how they can pivot digital media to increase their fan base, to increase their revenues and to grow their brand. So starts from monitoring to educating. Results shall be giving us insights and some small webinars here and there to be able to direct the clubs in the right way. And we believe out of this, it will be as an advocacy now clubs and other institutions in Kenya, not only in Kenya, but also in Africa, will start taking digital media seriously. Because most of the partnerships that we've seen in Kenya and in Africa are mainly focused on the football side, coaching, refereeing, youth development. But now this is the first of the kind because it is focusing on digital media. And we believe that digital is the way to go. And Kenya being one of the countries that has a strong social media presence and digital presence, we believe this partnership couldn't have come at any better time.
Can you tell Sunny Side of Sports listeners what Football Kenya Federation will gain with the Result Sports partnership?
So basically, the Kenya Football League will gain a lot from this partnership, especially in the area of education and capacity building. Because out of this partnership, the clubs will be trained and retrained on matters to do with digital. And when you gain a lot from this education, basically what focus number two is the brand growth. Because out of this education, the league on its own and the 18 clubs of the league will be able to have a better digital presence and a clear strategy on digital. And we believe out of this, the brand of the league will grow not only in Kenya, but beyond Kenya, across Africa. Because now with East Africa having one of the youngest populations in the world, you do need to be where the young people are, which is on digital. We also believe that out of this education and growing brand, we will be able now to monetize. So we will also gain because we will now get the commercial value. We will get the commercial value and the commercial strategy around digital media, right? And as you see where the world is going, you need now to make good use of the digital platforms as not only platforms, but also as club assets. So we believe we'll gain in those three things: education, growth of the brand, and which finally the two give back to the third one, which is monetization. And this is basically what Result has been doing across other regions. and lately in Africa. So we are really looking forward to gaining a lot from this partnership, and we believe this shall be the three main pillars of the benefits we shall get from this partnership.
That's Ronnie Lusigi, the digital media manager of the Football Kenya Federation. And Ronnie spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi, Kenya.
Sporty greeting. This is Ronnie Lusigi, the digital media manager at Football Kenya Federation. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. In African club football, the home teams dominated the opening group matches in the CAF Confederation Cup tournament. 7 of the 8 matches were won by the home team. Entente Setif of Algeria was the only team not to win, playing a scoreless draw against South Africa's Orlando Pirates. But this really was not a true home game for the Algerian side. The Group A contest was moved to Ghana because of COVID-19 restrictions in Algeria. In the other Group A result, Nigeria's Enyimba defeated visiting Al Ahly Benghazi of Libya 2-1. Again, the home teams won the following CAF Confederation Cup results. In Group B, defending Confederation Cup champion Renaissance Berkane of Morocco beat NAPSA Stars of Zambia 2-0. And JS Kabylie of Algeria defeated Cotton Sport of Cameroon 1-0. In Group C, CS Faxian of Tunisia topped Salitas of Burkina Faso 1-0. And Etoile Sahel of Tunisia defeated Giraffe of Senegal 2-0. And finally, in Group D, Raja Casablanca of Morocco beat Namungo of Tanzania 1-0. And Pyramids of Egypt scored a 3-0 victory against Nkana of Zambia as the home teams once again dominate the opening group matches in the CAF Confederation Cup tournament.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach was re-elected to another 4-year term Wednesday at a virtual IOC session. The 67-year-old German lawyer ran unopposed and will remain the top Olympic official until 2025. IOC member and former bronze medal-winning Olympic rower Anita DeFrance of the United States announced the results of the vote.
Dear colleagues, our president, Mr. Thomas Bach, has been re-elected, and the results of the vote are following. Votes received, 98. Abstentions, which per the Olympic Charter are not counted for the majority, 4. Valid votes, 94. Majority from the valid votes, 48. Yes, 93. No, 1. Mr. President, before returning the floor to you, I want to thank you for leading us during 8 years of extraordinary challenges and successes. Congratulations on your re-election. We all look forward to a very successful second term. And now, sir, you have the floor.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Congratulations. Muchas felicidades. Adelante.
Hasta la victoria. Chers amis et collègues, dear friends and colleagues, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for this overwhelming vote of confidence and trust. For me, this is even more overwhelming considering the many reforms and the many difficult decisions we had to take and which affected all of us. You know that this is touching me deeply. It also makes me humble. When you elected me for the first time as your president in 2013 in Buenos Aires, I said that I want to lead the IOC according to my campaign motto, unity in diversity, and be a president for all of you and for all our stakeholders. This commitment is also true for my second and last term. My door, my ears, and my heart remain open for each and every one of you. And I hope that I can count on your continued dedication, support, and friendship also during these 4 more years.
Thomas Bach says with the Tokyo Olympics scheduled to begin in just over 4 months, the IOC is determined to hold a safe games in the Japanese capital, which is currently under a COVID-19 state of emergency.
The IOC is working at full speed together with our Japanese partners and friends to make the postponed Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 a safe manifestation of peace, solidarity, and resilience of humankind in overcoming the pandemic. Tokyo remains the best prepared Olympic city ever. And at this moment, we have no reason to doubt that the opening ceremony will take place on 23rd of July. The question is not whether. The question is how these Olympic Games will take place. Therefore, our efforts are focused on how to address COVID-19. In this context, we are together with our Japanese partners and friends developing comprehensive and science-based playbooks of COVID-19 countermeasures. We will establish specific countermeasures that apply to all the different groups participating in the Olympic Games. The athletes, the entourage, the officials, the volunteers, the sponsors, the media, the spectators, and of course, the Japanese people.
IOC President Thomas Bach adds, some big sports events have been held during the global pandemic.
So we have clear and obvious proof that very big international sport events with a large number of international participants can be organized while safeguarding the health of everyone. This fact is even more significant because none of these events could benefit from vaccinations. In contrast, we are now in the very fortunate position that several vaccines are already widely in use. A considerable number of Olympic athletes is even already or about to be vaccinated in time for Tokyo. This situation will continue to improve greatly the closer we get to the opening ceremony.
IOC President Thomas Bach. Once again, the opening ceremony for this year's Tokyo Olympics, scheduled for July 23rd in the Japanese capital.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. In more Olympic news, Canadian swimmer Penny Oleksiak made her record-setting debut at the 2016 Rio Games as her country's youngest gold medalist. Penny is now looking forward to the Tokyo Games in July. VOA's Gwen Uten tells us how the champion swimmer is preparing for her trip to Japan. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. On Tuesday's show, I profiled British swimmer Adam Peaty, who made a spectacular Olympic debut in 2016 when he set a world record in the 100-meter breaststroke and became the first man to win gold for Great Britain. Well, at those same Rio Games, swimmer Penny Oleksiak also made history in her Olympic debut as the first Canadian to win four medals, including one gold, in a single Summer Games. And in a recent interview with Reuters News, Oleksiak recalled the pressure she felt as a then 16-year-old and Canada's youngest Olympic champion.
I think, like the last Olympics, after I got the medals, I think there was a lot of pressure on my shoulders and a lot of people had different expectations for me, and it kind of became overwhelming for a little bit. And I struggled with it for a couple of years, and I struggled with having a Olympic champion attached to my name at swim meets and everything. It was like almost like scary for me to go up and race, but now it's more motivating to me. I think when I get up to race and people say Olympic champion Penny Oleksiak, I'm like, yeah, that is me. I did that, and I'm going to do it, like, again, hopefully, and I'm going to show you right now that I can be fast. And I don't know. I think now I've kind of learned to, like, tune everything out and just focus on what I'm trying to focus on.
Building on her success in Rio has been a heavy lift. During the 2017 season, a concussion and lingering shoulder issue kept Oleksiak off the podium in an individual event. The next year, she found it hard to compete following the death of her grandmother and again failed to win a medal at the Commonwealth Games. But after taking a much-needed break from competition, she returned to the pool to get back into top Olympic form in time for Tokyo. And then the pandemic hit, delaying the Games for another year.
Honestly, at the beginning of the pandemic, not knowing if or when we were going to train again, we were out for like, I think 5 or 6 months, which is like insane for swimmers, I feel like. And so it was just the like feeling of not knowing anything and just kind of like going in every day, and you never know. The Olympics could be canceled tomorrow, and then it's like, what have I been training the last year and a half for?
Alexia can now say she's benefited from the one-year postponement. She's been working hard to improve what is called her front-end speed. She hopes her training will balance out her back-end prowess that helped her achieve a come-from-behind silver medal finish in the 100-meter freestyle 5 years ago. And she revealed the most important element to her training is having fun.
I try to go into practices and races and stuff like for fun now, more so, because when I was at the Olympics, I was going into it just like, I don't even know who I'm racing. I'm here for a good time, you know? And so now when I go into practice, I just make sure that I go in with intentions and I'm feeling good about it and I'm happy to go in. I'm listening to music before, like, and I do the same thing with races. I just make sure as long as I'm in a good mood, I usually race well.
Alexiak says she is managing her expectations for Tokyo, but she is anxious to see how much she's grown as a competitor.
I'd say I've definitely changed a lot as like a swimmer and a person. Like I've become a different person. I'm built a lot different than I was in 2016, and that's just how it goes, I guess. But I'm really trying to learn how to go out a bit better, so we'll see how that goes against other girls. But I think I still have that closing speed, and I'm excited to get to show it off again, I hope.
Alexiak has already been named to the Canadian swimming team at Tokyo 2020, and she'll enter the Games just 3 medals shy of becoming her country's most decorated Olympic athlete. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
National Basketball Association action Wednesday night. The Dallas Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies both posted victories at home in a matchup between Texas-based teams. The Mavericks beat the San Antonio Spurs 115-104. And Memphis defeated my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, 127-112. With more on the victories by the Mavericks and the Grizzlies, here is the AP's Dave Ferry.
Luka Doncic had a triple-double, and the Mavericks closed on a 17-4 run to beat the Spurs, 115-104. Doncic finished with 22 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists for his 33rd career triple-double. Kristaps Porzingis chipped in 28 points and 14 boards for Dallas.
Early on, wasn't really getting, you know, some looks that I would have liked, but stuck with it. And at the end, my teammates found me, second half. Played some good basketball, and that just gives us energy on the defensive end.
DeMar DeRozan had 30 points, 11 assists, and 4 steals in the Spurs' first game since announcing that LaMarcus Aldridge would no longer be with the team by mutual agreement. Jonas Valanciunas scored a season-high 29 points and matched his season best with 20 rebounds, leading the Grizzlies to a 127-112 victory over the Wizards.
It was 4 days without basketball, so it was great to play basketball again, and, you know, it was great to be with the group, win a game.
Ja Morant added 21 points and 10 assists for Memphis, while rookie Desmond Bane finished with a season-high 20 points, going 5 of 8 from three-point range. Bradley Beal scored 21 points for the Wizards, but was 6 of 22 from the field, including 1 of 8 from three-point range. The Grizzlies shot 50.5%, scored 78 points in the paint, and out-rebounded the Wizards 60-39. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Los Angeles Lakers basketball star Anthony Davis. AD was born March 11th, 1993 in Chicago, Illinois. He's an 8-time NBA All-Star, and AD won his first NBA championship last October with the Lakers. Happy 28th birthday, Anthony Davis. And that wraps up the March 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it?